This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding, counter-spy.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
An episode of Call the Police, a show that aired on NBC. It was a summer replacement series, and I believe at this point in time it was a summer replacement for Amos and Andy. This show was originally broadcast July 20th, 1948, and it is the case of the unknown strangler.
Renzo, new Renzo with Solium presents Call the Police.
Attention, homicide section.
Between you and the evil outside the law stands the policeman of your community. He gives up his safety that you may be safe. And sometimes he gives up his life to protect yours.
The scientific sunlight ingredient brings you Call the Police, a new series of realistic radio dramas inspired by the courageous work of police departments all over America.
This is Commissioner Bill Grant. Putting the cuffs on a Jack the Ripper takes plenty of hard labor and all the breaks, as was demonstrated in number 3461 from the Ashland Files. Never to be forgotten is the case of the unknown strangler. The opening of this giant-sized comedy took place at 7:15 on the evening of July 2nd in a third-floor flat.
Just a song.
Miss Francie Abley, 47-year-old spinster who earned a small living teaching singing, was making herself a bite of dinner in her modest 2x4 kitchenette.
Oh, dear. There goes the doorbell. Probably somebody to inquire about lessons. Just a moment, please. Just a moment. I hear you. I'm coming. Won't you step in? I'm preparing a little food in the kitchen, so if you'll excuse me. Let me by. Will you let me by, please? I'm going to scream for help. Do you hear me? I'm going to scream for help!
That was the curtain raiser. We found the dead woman 2 hours later, and nothing, absolutely nothing, to give us any insight into the motive behind the crime. 56 hours later, the curtain went up on the second chorus of the Dance of Death. On the night of July 6th, an aging lawyer by the name of Joel Crocker creaked up the steps to his ancient office.
What? I didn't know there was anyone waiting for me. I'm terribly sorry, sir. If you'll just come along into the inner office, leave the door open, if you please. It's cooler that way. Now, just have a seat.
Now,
how dare you? How dare you strike me in my...
And now there were two crimes as alike as a pair of peas in a pod. Illogical death without reason or motive. The newspapers didn't catch on for 12 hours. Then suddenly they made the tie-up between the Abley and Crocker murders, and every sheet in town was off to the races.
Unknown strangler takes double toll. Police helpless to stop homicidal murderers.
Where will the killer strike next?
Bill, stop pacing. Bill, please.
Take a gander at those papers, Libby. A banner day for the press. This photo layout looks like a remake of The Cat and the Canary.
May I say something?
Say what?
This is really the criminal psych department speaking, Bill, but you're dealing with just what the papers say you are. A homicidal murderer.
So, why?
Murder is always on the verge of insanity, or, as we say, pre-psychotic. But murder without motive, pointless, disconnected, profitless killing, is psychotic. Whoever the man is, Bill, he's insane.
Hold it a second, lady. Well?
I'm sorry, but I had to come. I couldn't wait any longer. I had to come.
What is this? Who are you?
My name is Liz Porter. You've got to help me. He's been missing for days.
Who has?
Leonard. Leonard Walker, the boy I'm engaged to.
Look, missing persons you report at your local precinct.
I did, but all they've got on their minds is this unknown strangler scare. Oh, please, please help me. I'm so worried.
How long has your fiancé been missing, Miss Porter?
Since the evening of the 2nd of July.
Yeah, very interesting evening. What's the last you saw of him?
Well, we'd been on a date. He brought me home. He drove away in his car.
What kind of a car does he drive?
A small sedan.
License plate?
It's 201G. Oh, I don't know. I just don't know. My mind's in such a fog.
Have a chair, miss.
Thank you.
Hello?
Fangio.
Well?
Don't blow your top.
Thanks for caring, but it's already blown. What's the news?
Bad. Another strangler victim.
Another? The strangler again, Libby.
Oh, Bill.
What address?
No address. This one was staged in a car on a side road off Highway 11. A young guy about 25, no identification.
Young guy killed in his car. What about the license plate?
201G48N.
Just a second. Miss Porter.
Yes?
Could your boyfriend's license have been 201G48N?
Miss Porter.
She recognized the numbers when I said them. And she was right to faint. It was Leonard Walker, all right. He'd been sitting up straight in his sedan for 4 days and nights with the strangler's fingerprints around his throat.
July 20th, 1948, Call the Police on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Call the Police was the summer replacement series for Amos and Andy in 1947, 48, and 49, sponsored by Rinso, although I hear that some episodes were sponsored by Johnson's Wax. I don't know why they would be sponsoring that time slot, but who knows. Now more of Call the Police, July 20th, 1948, the case of the unknown strangler.
Number three for the unknown strangler was a young man named Leonard Walker. Three motiveless, clueless murders in as many days. I channeled every available man into the hunt for the strangling maniac, but got nowhere until...
Bill.
Yes, Libby.
Remember I told you yesterday I thought I knew the way out of this? Well, now I'm sure I do.
I'm all ears.
I want you to meet someone, Bill. He's outside now. His name is Dr. Bernard Rayburn. He's an expert on abnormal psychology.
What can I lose? Show him in.
Won't you come in, Dr. Rayburn?
Thank you.
Dr. Rayburn, this is Commissioner Grant.
Oh, yeah, Doctor?
How do you do?
Miss Tyler seems to think you can give us a lead on his strangler, Doc.
I can tell you that he's an obviously schizophrenic type. Meaning, among other things, that even he, very probably, doesn't know that he's the strangler.
How does that work, Doc?
On a principle of facial changes. One minute the man may appear quite rational, whereas at the next, he can become a monstrous personality. And remember nothing at all of his actions when he shifts back again to the rational phase.
Yeah, I get the picture. That's a tough one to deal with.
Yes, I agree, Commissioner. But I think by an analysis of his crimes, one might arrive at something very like an identification.
And you? Could you make that analysis?
I can't promise you anything, but if you'll give me your records and notes covering the murders, I'll try to assemble some facts. They may even include a fairly dependable sketch of the killer's physical appearance.
By now I like the man, and I knew also that he'd deliver. So I gathered together our meager records and packed them off to do his work. An hour and a half later, the tireless Sergeant Maggio walked into the office.
Here's a little jigger to add to your collection.
What's that?
I took a last look at Leonard Walker's car and found it stuck under the front seat cover. It's a cap of one of those newfangled dry point pens.
Maybe it belonged to Walker.
I'm going to check on that. I called Miss Porter and she's coming over after work to see if she recognizes it.
Uh-huh.
They tell me you had an interview with a nut doctor.
I talked things over with Dr. Rayburn.
Where's he now? Laundering his straitjackets?
Getting his work done. Which isn't a bad idea for everybody on this case. The next day was the 8th of July, and a very eventful day it was. Because at a little after 7 that evening, a schoolteacher named Miss Rosie McMahon was hurrying across the lonelier stretches of Burgoyne Park to beat an oncoming storm.
Who are you? What do you want? No. No.
Come here.
Go away.
Come here.
Let me alone. Let me alone. Help!
Help! Okay, boys. That's him, sir.
Oh. You made a mistake. Let me loose. Let me loose.
Sorry, but you tried it once too often, Strangler.
When they brought him in, I took a look at him, and I was amazed. A little thin-faced man with steel-rimmed glasses and tobacco-stained mustache.
No. No, you are wrong. I know do something only stop nice lady to ask for a cigarette. Hindeman do no harm.
No, too bad about Hindeman. Sugar wouldn't melt in Hindeman's mouth. But take a look at what we found when we went over him.
What's that?
Key ring.
Man can carry key ring?
Man can also explain why his ring features this particular key. Look at the tag on it, Chief.
Huh?
key to the basement of 894 Tyson Street.
894 Tyson?
That's the address of the Abley woman.
Strangler, victim number one. And maybe you also remember the address of Lawyer Crocker, number two.
For sure. 54 Fulham Street.
Exhibit B from the same key ring.
Hindman make no harm for somebody. Hindman,
what are you doing with these keys?
Make a living. Only make a living.
He says he works as a part-time janitor in both buildings. Kind of coincidence, huh, Commissioner?
Wait a minute. 894 Tyson, 54 Fulham. And where does Leonard Walker's girlfriend live, Miss Porter?
Dale Avenue, the Horton Apartments.
And this last chivalry takes place in Burgoyne Park.
So?
Libby, give me a map of Ashland.
There's one here on the wall.
That'll do, thanks.
Well, what are you doing, Chief? Plotting a new civic project?
I'm drawing.
What?
The area of the Strangler's activities. Bounded on the north by Fulham Street. On the south by Tyson Street. On the east by Dale Avenue. And the center of the territory is Burgoyne Park.
You got something?
I got at least geography. The Strangler is operated in this penciled section. Every murder has either occurred in this area of these three blocks or has been tied up with it one way or the other. Hindman?
Yeah, mister, yeah.
You're under arrest for the murders of Francis Avley, Joel Crocker, and Leonard Walker.
No! No, I know do something! I know do something, you Francis! I know do something!
We lifted the hysterical Hindman into my office. And Libby pointed out that we'd get nowhere with him until he had recovered a little. According to her, an injection of liquid Nimbutol would tide him over his panic. And this she brought from the lab.
No, I don't care. You can't.
All right, Bill. Help him onto the sofa. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, get the needle ready. He's in bad shape.
I will. Commissioner?
Miss Porter.
Oh.
You sent
for me?
Oh, just a minute, Libby. It was about this fountain pen cap found in Walker's car. Was it his?
No. No, that wasn't Libby.
Okay, thanks. Obviously, it belonged to the Strangler here. Now, if you just wait outside
the
until...
Strangler? Hindman?
You know him?
Know him? Why, yes, of course I know him. He insulted me once outside my apartment house. He killed Emmy. He did it.
Miss Porter.
He did it, I tell you.
Get out of here, Libby.
Come on, Porter. Now try to calm down, please.
Maggio.
Yeah?
Put Miss Porter downstairs and put her in my car. I'll drive her home myself as soon as we finish inside.
Okay. Come on now, Miss Porter. Everything's going to be all right.
Let's get back to Hindman.
All right. Where were we, Bill?
About to give him a shot.
Mm.
I don't want you
okay.
forgetting. No.
Now, here's a needle. Hold his wrist, Bill.
I don't want you to.
Okay.
There we are. There we are.
All done.
All done. I'm going to get the desk at City Hospital and have him taken to the ward, Bill. He'll be better off there until he's well enough to answer questions.
Sleeping peacefully, this man whose one love was murder. I looked down at him, fascinated by the sheer evil of his face. And then...
I
leaned forward, hovering over him to catch an unconscious confession. When suddenly, his head came up under my chin, the bony skull catching me square on the button with the power of a mule's kick. My eyes bugged as the room started to do a swirling tarantella. And then, down I went, swaying off into never, never land, without a care in the world. When I came to, the couch was empty. Hindman had been on his way for who knows how long. And then I saw it. A spot on the carpet not 3 feet from my nose. I smelt it. Nimbutol. In those few minutes while we were lugging Liz Porter outside, Hindman had emptied the needle and filled it again so that we gave him an injection of aqua pura. H2O. Water. When the full impact of what had happened hit my muddled brain, I grabbed the phone and began to shout, turning every able-bodied gun-toting man in the force into the chase and hemstitching the borders of Ashland with a ring of squad cars. After that, Libby and I staggered out for something to revive us. She was trying to cheer me up, I remember, telling me not to despair when suddenly, just as we neared the car...
Bill.
Huh?
Bill, look. Look.
before I saw Liz Porter smiling out at us. On second glance, I saw that the smile was really the toothy grimace of her last attempt for that final gasp of air that hadn't come. Elizabeth Porter had met the Strangler face to face. And the Strangler was still ranging the town with his fingers curled like the talons of a buzzard.
What are we going to do, Bill?
Call the governor. I'm putting this in his lap. It takes 1,000 more men to cover this city. I need the militia.
Bill.
Bill me no bills. Death has come to stay, baby. Hello, State Capitol?
No, Commissioner. This is Dr. Reber.
Hello. Well, how you doing, Doc?
Fine. I've got some material for you, as I promised.
On the Strangler?
Yes.
We know who he is, Doc.
Congratulations.
But he slipped us.
Now, this may help you pick him up again. Come on over.
Rayburn lived in a comfortable brownstone on Chestnut Street. We sat over his dining room table drinking cold beer and examining what amounted to the work of genius.
Now, take a look at this sketch, Commissioner.
Yeah. Who is this, Doc?
It's a picture of the Strangler.
Huh?
It's not exactly a camera portrait, Grant, but it's been discovered recently that all mental illnesses have similar physical correlatives. In other words, this is what the Strangler must look like based upon his symptoms.
I get it. You're okay, Doc. You're okay.
You can study it for a moment while I get my other notes.
I did study the sketch. And the longer I looked at it, the more I realized that it looked nothing like Hindemann. But I had the strange feeling that it looked like somebody I knew.
Now, here are the balance of the notes. I want to jot in a couple of remarks, then you can have them.
He took out his fountain pen and began to make additions in the margins. And as I stared at him, the short hairs on the tender part of my nape stood up as sharp as quills. It's a nice suit, Doc.
This one?
Yeah. You could damage it, you know, carrying that pen in your pocket without a cap.
I know. I'm a careless man at best. I lost the cap the other day.
Where?
Why, I don't know.
I think I do.
You think you do?
Yeah. You lost it, Doc, where it was found. In Leonard Walker's car.
Leonard Walker? He was one of the victims, wasn't he?
Number 3, to be exact.
How could I have lost it in his car? I never laid eyes on him.
Here's the cap. Maggio found it yesterday. I'm afraid you laid more than eyes on him, Doc. I'm afraid you laid hands on him.
Let me see that thing. Thanks. It is mine. There's a crack down the middle. I dropped it and stepped on it the day before it disappeared. Grant.
I know, Dr. Rayburn.
Me. Me.
This street, Chestnut Street, comprises the fourth side of the square in which the Strangler is operated.
And it all comes together. July 20th, 1948, Call the Police here on Classic Radio Theater. The conclusion, along with another episode of Claudia, up next. But first, these words.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. Data House Oversight Committee hearing today. IRS Special Agent Joseph Ziegler revealed multiple errors in the Hunter Biden investigation.
Assigned prosecutors did not appear to follow the normal investigative process, slow walked the investigation, and put in place unnecessary approvals and roadblocks.
He asserted that investigators were prevented from pursuing leads that could have linked Joe Biden to an alleged influence peddling scheme. At least one person has died after gunfire erupted in a Florida City Walmart. A witness says he saw a man shot twice in the chest and a second person in the leg. A handcuffed person was seen in the back of a Florida City police cruiser. A Texas woman is under arrest in Dubai for shouting in public. Tiara Allen, a 29-year-old social media influencer, allegedly raised her voice while trying to retrieve her passport from a rental car company. That passport has now been confiscated. She's been locked up. John Schaefer, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion of the summer replacement for Amos and Andy, Call the Police in the Case of the Unknown Strangler, July 20th, 1948.
Also, take a look at the picture you drew.
Yes. Yes, it does look like me. How could I have missed it?
So, diagnose for me, Doc.
My diagnosis stands. Advanced schizophrenia.
And who's my strangler?
I can hardly believe it. I am.
Prescription, Doc.
Get me to headquarters. Quick.
We said nothing on the way downtown. We said nothing as we started up in the elevator. I looked at him, feeling sorry for a nice guy who was very, very sick. What I saw as I looked meant nothing to me. I'd never seen a facial change occur. And it's difficult for anyone to see, so I wasn't prepared when the elevator stopped. After you, Doc.
Turn loose!
I went down, falling across the elevator entrance. I didn't know that Livy was in my office.
And she didn't know Rayburn is anything but a nice guy.
Oh, hello, Doctor. Where's Bill?
Bill?
Bill Grant. Oh, Commissioner Grant. He was with you, wasn't he?
Yes. He was.
Oh, well, I hope he hurries. I've got news for him. Maggio just called. They picked up Hindeman.
Hindeman?
Yes, Hindeman the janitor. The strangler. They found him hiding in the basement of an old house. Oh, don't you realize what that means, Dr. Rayburn? Everything you and Bill have been through, it's all over. Finished.
Finished?
No more murders, no more terror. No more innocent victims. They've got the strangler. What are you laughing at? Are you trying to make fun of me? Dr. Rayburn, what's the matter? What's the matter? Doctor!
What brought me to the surface was... And that same force dragged me out of the elevator. And down the hall, I saw the glass door with my name on it. William Grant, police commissioner. Ashland. Not strong enough to open it. I lunged forward and fell through. He swung around. And in that moment, as he tottered back, the change occurred. Dr. Rayburn snapped back. Himself again. And there was more surprise than accusation in his eyes as he said,
"Why did you do that, Grant? Why?
Why?" And the terror was over. Libby and I, we tried to forget.
Hindeman was all coincidence. Sick enough, but definitely not the killer.
That's about it. Now, let's not talk about it, huh?
This thing. It can happen to anybody, and you never know a thing about it.
It doesn't happen unless you're the type, sweetheart. And you get warnings, don't worry.
Such as?
Well, you take me.
Hmm?
The last year or so, I've felt a peculiar sort of thing. Tightening of the pulses, heightening of the blood pressure, quivering around the heart.
Really, Bill?
Yeah. It comes on at certain times.
What times?
Times... when I look at you, baby.
Bill. Oh, Bill Grant.
This is Bill Grant. It's with considerable pride that I present this week's Call the Police Plaque of Valor and Cash Award to an heroic Deputy Inspector of Police, James MacArthur of Cleveland, Ohio. MacArthur's deed of valor was reported by Sam Giamo, Chief Police Reporter of the Cleveland Press. Shortly after midnight, the police broadcast announced that a robbery was in progress in a coffee shop in downtown Cleveland. MacArthur, who was cruising in the district, sped to the scene of the holdup. Without thought to his personal safety, he ripped open the door and confronted a group of armed bandits. As MacArthur stepped into the room, three bullets whizzed past his head. He drew his revolver and fired. One of the gunmen went down, wounded. The other three tried to escape, but MacArthur blocked their exit at gunpoint. The four bandits were sentenced to 10 to 25 years in Ohio State Penitentiary. His swift action, his cool courage and gallant devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the police forces of America. Congratulations to Deputy Inspector James MacArthur, Chief George J. Matowitz, and the entire police department of Cleveland, Ohio.
George Petrie was starred in the role of Bill Grant. Music was arranged and conducted by Ben Ludlow. This is Hugh James reminding you to be with us again next week when Lever Brothers Company, makers of new Rinso with Solium, bring you another exciting police case. Listen next week to...
July 20th, 1948, Call the Police on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain, open for business. And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set his adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against Tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise.
Ad for what?
The print, broadcasting, and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's a bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, will it work?
It will. Well, my name ain't Will, Philomena. We've got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or die, dopey.
Put your message on this national advertising platform. Email classicradiotheater@gmail.com. classicradiotheater@gmail.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment, and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a one-week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this one-week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, another episode of the soap opera Claudia. This was originally broadcast July 20th, 1948. It's that fun time, naming the baby.
And now, Claudia.
Mama, we got any more safety pins?
Claudia, take the pins out of your mouth. They're in the little box on top of the dresser.
My hands are full.
I suppose that means I'm to come in and give them to you.
You doing anything else?
Would it matter? All right, here I am at your service.
Thank you.
You've got two pins. What do you want with more?
I am experimenting.
You are, eh?
I think that with a couple of extra pins, I can get his shirt held down neat.
Look, Claudia, babies have been pinned into diapers for centuries. Two pins have always been enough.
Mama, are you trying to stop the wheels of progress?
No, but I'm against fruitless experiments.
Oh, I suppose that's what every genius is told when he tried to find a new way to do old things. Hey, keep still, Skeezix. Hey, Mama, where are you going?
Does it take two of us to pin on one diaper?
I thought you'd be interested in watching how skillful I've become. Now, come here now, Snookums. I'll just roll you over on your tummy.
Roll is right. He's a fat little thing.
You know, I don't know what's supposed to be so beautiful about babies. If I walked around with rolls of fat where he has them, no one would look at me twice. On a baby, everybody makes a big fuss.
Don't complain as long as he's healthy. He's very handsome, too. Oh. I refuse to talk about it anymore, and he doesn't care what you think. He knows his grandmother loves him, doesn't he?
He hasn't said a word. When are you going to learn to talk, funny face?
Aren't you ever satisfied, Claudia?
I'm satisfied. So satisfied, I'm afraid to even think about it. Now, Snookums, you're all pinned up.
Claudia, this has got to stop.
What has?
Calling that child Snookums, Skeezix, and funny face. It's time we called him something.
I'm calling him lots of things.
Well, that's what I mean. Poor child, he'll get shell-shocked.
Oh.
Skeezix, what a name.
We've discussed a name for him. Why, just last night. But it's not as easy as it sounds, Mom.
Other people managed to find one.
We are not other people. Besides, I'd rather not call him anything than call him by the wrong name.
No name would be wrong compared to what he's been hearing.
Oh, poor little Skookums. Grandma says you've got to have a name. What name would you like? Oh, I don't think anybody would be able to spell that.
The minute David comes home, I'm going to see that he takes the bull by the horns.
Can't decide just like that, Mama.
Like what?
Just like that. We've got to think about it more.
You have been thinking about it for weeks. If you don't make up your minds just like that, you never will. Well, that child will get an inferiority complex growing up without a name.
He already has Norton. What's the matter with that?
Norton?
Oh, Mama.
I hope he'll wear it well and do it justice.
He will.
But he has to have a front half, too. So let me know when you've decided. I'll keep dinner waiting.
It's your idea, so you have to help us.
It's your son, so you have to decide.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Norton, Sr., come in, come in, come in. We were just talking to you about Junior.
No? Where are you?
Where do you think we are?
I don't know. Just where I think you are, I suppose. Keeping that child from getting a decent day's sleep.
Oh.
Hello, all.
Hello, you all. Am I going to get a kiss?
I thought you were telling me last night it's not sanitary to kiss.
That is babies.
Oh, you're different.
Very, so kiss me and shut up.
Hello, Mother, before I go down for the third time.
Not one greeting for your son, David.
Hiya, Skibo. How you doing?
He's doing fine. And, David, listen, before you do anything else, there's something Mama says you have to do.
Something else I have to do?
Mm-hmm. It's much more important than kissing Claudia.
Mm. More important to Mama, but not to me, darling.
I'm going to disinherit that grandson of mine if you don't give him a name this minute.
Well, what does Fatty need a name for?
For exactly that reason. Fatty? Terrible, my grandson.
You see, David, Mama's getting neurotic on the subject.
Oh, he won't answer to his name for years, so what's the hurry?
It's the principle of the thing.
Well, give him a principle, Claudia.
Yes, that's the principal thing.
Where's your hat, David? I'll cut up lots of little pieces of paper and put a name on each, and you can pick one out.
Say, that's a good way to do it, seeing as what we decide now to call him is going to stay with him for his whole life. See, it is a responsibility, isn't it?
What's in a name? A rose by any other name.
That's fine for flowers, but not for little boys. I'm not going to budge until we've dubbed him.
Say, Mama, how did I happen to be called Claudia?
I don't know. You just looked like a Claudia when you were born.
What's a Claudia look like?
Like you.
You're a big help.
I have a better idea. A really modern, progressive idea. Now, why don't we wait until he grows up? Then, when he sees for himself what he's like, he can choose a name for himself.
What are we supposed to call him till then?
Blank.
Mr. Blank Norton. Yep, it's all right with me.
Very good. You two, you're impossible. All right, if you won't help, I'll decide all by myself.
Well, do we have to do it this minute?
This minute, before we leave the room. And we're going to choose it right in front of him, too.
Oh, much more accurate with the subject present.
May I sit down?
Pull up a bed, David.
Thank you. We'll never call him by his name anyway.
We won't?
I won't.
But I will.
We'll see. Look at him. He's so microscopic.
Oh, he's not.
Any name we give him will be too much for him.
Well, let's try giving him a small name.
Then he'll grow up to be big and his name will be too small for him.
You make it sound so complicated.
Oh, it is. It is.
Can't we find a nice medium-sized name? You know, sort of keep one foot on each side of the road.
Compromise. Compromise. Mm. No, I don't like fancy names.
No, neither do I. No.
I don't think he's going to be a very fancy little boy.
He better not be.
Let's give him a name that'll sort of give him something to sort of live up to. You know, a name that has character.
Well, name one.
How's George?
George?
Mm-hmm.
For him? No, George is not for him.
How do you know? He isn't anything yet.
What are Georges like, David?
Well, by George, would you mind passing me my monocle, old boy? I'll have another cup of tea.
I know some very nice Georges. I knew a George once who was a truck driver.
Truck driver?
Very
no,
nice.
No son of mine would be called George Norton, no.
See what you mean.
Let's see, what about Henry?
Henry?
Henry Norton.
You want him to grow up to be bald and wear rimless glasses and have braces on his teeth when he's 7?
I knew a nice Henry once.
I don't think your son looks like a Henry.
What does he look like if you're so smart?
Puddinhead.
Oh, fine, call him Puddinhead. I rather like that. Puddinhead Norton.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very nice ring to it.
P.H. Norton.
My hair is rapidly turning white, clear through.
Well, let's try and pick a name with a little romance.
Oh, lots of romance.
Such as?
Ravenol. Young Ravenol Norton. How does that sound?
Oh, if I had a son called Ravenol, he'd have to marry a girl called Georgiana. And I don't think I could bear to have a daughter-in-law called Georgiana.
But if he were called Ravenol, he could swing a cane, wear a top hat, and be ever so gallant to weed down upon the...
Oh, that might not be such a bad idea after all.
David, be serious. In 2 minutes, I have to put dinner on.
Well, can't we sleep on it?
On what, on dinner?
Oh, a comedian in the house.
Yeah, we've been sleeping on it long enough. So long that we've gone to sleep on the job. We have to call him something.
Mama's right. How's, Edward?
Edward who?
Another comedian in the house. Move over, David. I want to be the end man.
Edward's a nice, simple name.
No, there's not enough character. No bones in it.
Right? Bones? Well, he doesn't have any bones. Look at him.
He has no muscles either. How about a muscular name?
You know, there's something to say for having girls. Girls' names are prettier.
Well, if you think you're going to foist a pretty name on my son, you're tooting up the wrong tree.
I'm not tooting up any tree, but I don't like Edward Norton. Eddie Norton. Ed Norton? No, doesn't sound right.
What's the matter with David?
Nothing's the matter with David.
Except David says he won't have his son called after him.
Why not?
It gets much too complicated. My son has a right to his own name. I'm not going to have him go through his life being called Junior. His life is his own to live. He'll have to make his own name mean something, too.
That's very humble of you, David.
Oh, not at all. Very conceited. This boy has to stand on his own 2 feet. He's not going to get by on his father's reputation.
What reputation?
Bad reputation.
Well, I'm glad you straightened that out.
Oh, this is all very well and good, but we're not getting any place.
Well, can't we get into the dining room? I'm hungry.
And so is your son, hungry for a name.
Well, there's Percival, Rupert, Egbert, Albert, Arnold, Ambrose, Archibald. Well,
that's all for the A's.
Chop off their heads.
Then there's Bertram, Bernard, Barney.
That's all for the B's.
And there's Charles.
No.
I know.
What do you know?
John.
Oh, I love John. But I hate Jack, and all Johns are Jacks.
Well, ours doesn't have to be.
John. John Norton. It's not bad. How do you like John Norton, Scoobums? You there, sleepy face?
He doesn't like John.
How's William?
Oh, all Williams are Bills. I don't like William, but I love Bill.
Bill. Silly Billy. Hmm?
Well, they might call him Willie.
Oh, no son of mine shall be called Willie. Willy-nilly.
I still think we ought to let him decide in years to come.
No dinner until you decide.
The right name just doesn't hit us between the eyes. Just too bad.
What about Spud or Bud or Pug?
No.
What about Mickey or Ricky or Mike?
Oh, he is not going to have freckles. I forbid it.
He's not going to have a name at this rate.
David, don't you feel anything hitting you between the eyes?
Only the back of my hand.
Oh, I'm getting hungry.
Now listen, you two. Come on. Let's quit kidding. We know it's all settled. That is, at least, I know.
You do?
I do. It's been settled for years and years and years.
It has?
If you'd stop and think for a minute, Mrs. Norton, you'd know your son's name as well as I do.
I would.
Mm-hmm. Think, darling.
I'm thinking.
Claudia, you don't have to wrinkle up your face like that. It can't be such an effort.
Well, darling?
David, tell me.
How do you like Robert?
I've always liked Robert. There's nothing particularly the matter with Robert. It's nice.
What about you, Mrs. Brown?
Robert's a nice name.
You bet it's a nice name. I hope my son can live up to it.
He'll have a long ways to reach up.
David, I'm getting suspicious.
You are, Mrs. Brown? I just want to say, I just hope my son will grow up to be as fine a man as I'm sure Robert Brown was.
I didn't know you knew.
We'd be proud if you'd let us borrow the name of your husband, Mrs. Brown.
Don't do this to me.
We're not, Mama. We're doing it for us. For old sleepy face over there.
Then it's all settled. And Robert, it is.
Robert Norton. I like the way it sounds.
Well,
I like
Bobby.
It too.
Bobby, what do you think about it? Well, speak up, man.
He's so impressed with himself he can't say anything. Oh, darling, you're so very sweet and thoughtful.
Sweet? I'm just looking for the way to thank your mother and father for you.
And for Bobby.
Atta boy, Skeezix. Oh, I beg your pardon, old man. Bobby, come to Daddy.
Of course, I don't know firsthand
But I hear tell that trying on dresses in warm weather is one of the world's most trying occupations. And no puns intended. Yet women have to buy dresses. Next time shopping is too much for you, just look around for that friendly red sign and pause for ice-cold Coca-Cola. There'll probably be a Coke cooler right around the corner, waiting to help you shop refreshed.
What do you think of David's choice of names, Mr. King?
I think it's a very fine one, Mrs. Brown. Robert Norton.
It was a lovely gesture on David's part to name my grandson after my husband.
Well, much as David won't admit it, he's pretty proud of that boy of his.
Well, he is his father.
And much as he'll try not to act like his father, he'll end up just the same, like all the rest of us.
You think so?
Well, I even think that someday David will even end up with a picture or 10 or so in his wallet of Master Bobby Norton.
I'll have to see that to believe it.
Well, come around tomorrow, Mrs. Brown.
I most certainly will. Till then, goodbye, Mr. King.
Goodbye, Mrs. Brown. Every day, Monday through Friday, Claudia comes to you transcribed with the best wishes of your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola. So listen again tomorrow at the same time. And now this is Joe King saying au revoir.
From July 20th, 1948, Claudia on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Would you please thank this radio station and support their advertisers? It is their kindness and courtesy that allows us to be with you each and every time we're here on your favorite radio station. And if you miss a day, you don't have to miss a single show. You can find all of our shows available for play on demand at Classic Radio. Radio.stream. That's classicradio.stream. There you can stream the shows. You can learn more about classic radio collecting. You can find a listing of places where you can download the shows for offline listening. And you can also find our social media links. You can find also the link to email me directly. And you can also buy me a coffee. And the buy me a coffee link allows us to acquire more great classic radio shows. And you, I hope, will appreciate them very, very much. ClassicRadio.stream. ClassicRadio.stream. Thank you for tuning in. Tell all your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
C5.